you know, as I was walking this morning, I have some really good revelations when I walk. This morning wasn't a happy time. Because this morning, the Lord just kept putting on my heart people that are in bondage, people that are in slavery to something, people that have addictions, or people that are away from the Lord, or people that are burdened and grieving. And so all I could think of, and you know what? This time it wasn't the unsaved people. It wasn't the ones out there in the world that was on my heart, on God's heart that he was sharing. It was church people. It was the ones in the church that are not free, that God has so long tried to set free, and still they're in bondage. And it was just grieving the heart of God. And you know, some verses started coming to mind. Who will appoint me the time? Who will stand before me? Who will stand in the counsel of the Lord? And I said, me, God, me. I want to come right before you and hear your heart and hear your words and take your message. Me, send me. And he said, then come and hear what I have to say to the church. And you know, I don't often preach against specific sins. I mean, we talk about fall in love with God and he loves you and he'll heal you and he wants to set you free and he's got a purpose and he's got a call on your life and it's all good. And he is love and he's mercy and that's all true. But he's also a righteous God. And you're out there up against a nasty, evil, horrible devil. You're up against Satan and his demons that are wanting you to be in bondage and not let you get to that freedom God has for you. And that grieves God, because for whomever a man obeys, he comes in bondage to and becomes his slave, his servant. So when I asked God, where do you want me to read? Where do you want me to study this morning? He took me to the book of Revelation when John was on the Isle of Patmos all alone. And he had visions of heaven. He saw Christ in his glorified form. I mean, it was just awesome. But one of the first things, starting in chapter 2 and 3, that Jesus came to show John was the churches. And there were seven candlesticks. And those seven candlesticks represented different kinds of churches. You know, we're not telling you this is the only right kind of church. There's all kinds of churches. This is basically God put in our heart to make it a training center, train ministers in the fundamental basics, and then send you out to do it the way God does it through you.
Amen.
You know, and that's going to look different everywhere, but it's all the same doctrine, the same Christ, the same salvation, and the same repentance towards God.
Amen.
God is a holy God, and he is grieved with some of the church. And he's pleased. He's going to read Revelation 2 and 3. And it's what Jesus says to the churches. And then I want to give you a little illustration of something this morning, because I hope that we're going to desire your deliverance this morning if you're in any of these kinds of bondage.
Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, God, each church, except one, God had a lot of good things to say about, but then he had a problem with them. You could spend days and weeks and months studying just what he said to the churches and try to find out where you fit in that. You might fit in a lot of those churches for good and a lot of them for not so good. But God wants to prepare his bride for this great outpouring of his glory. We're at the end of time, people. We are there. Time is running out. And God is trying to get our attention and make us ready for things that are about to come. Repentance needs to come to the house of God first before we can really affect the world. Because I want you to see how the world sees us. They look at us and say, is God real? I'm looking at you, Christian, and saying, does that prove to me there's a real God, that he has any power? If he can't help you, how can he help me? So I'm going to let Harvey come up and be our example of a Christian. A bad one. And then the devil with his bag of tricks over there. The church at Ephesus was a good church. They hated evil. They hated everything evil. They weren't people that were out there doing bad things and then saying, oh, well, I'll repent tonight. These were people that had given their life to God. They had walked away from evil and repented, and they were serving God. He said that they had borne. That means they had endured some things. They had not quit. They were patiently waiting for God. I think that can describe a lot of us here. We've borne a lot of things, haven't we? We've gone in and we've endured and we have waited and waited and waited. This was the good word for this church. But he said you first left your first love. What is our first love? The relationship with Christ. There is nothing we can do for God. It's him. He's the one that did it all. Everything we do has to come from that relationship or it's powerless. So they were working and working and working. They left their first love and they just got caught up in ministry. They were busy. They were just busy people for God with a good motive. They didn't go back to sinful ways. They just forgot that all this time in his presence, this relationship, walking with him, That's where it was all at. So they had taken on this heavy blanket of weariness. They were just weighted down with their good works. The devil had done that to them. Now people come along and they see them, and people are needing. They're working. They're out there working jobs, and they're burdened with life. And they come along and look at Mr. Christian and say, could you? No, I guess you couldn't help me. You're all worn out yourself all the time. You have no energy. You have no passion. You just better sit down and rest, because you can't help anybody. The next church, Smyrna. This church had gone through a lot of tribulation. They'd gone through poverty. Have you ever lost all kinds of things? You work and then you lose everything. And, you know, you work so hard and then your truck breaks down and then the washer breaks down. And it's like thing after thing after thing just keeps trying your patience. Where is this good God and why does everything keep happening to me? They had gone through a lot of hard things and they did it with a good attitude. But they were afraid. They had stopped trusting God. They let this black blanket of fear come on them. I am amazed at people that are scared. Who all is scared of spiders? Now, isn't that amazing? Y'all are this big or that big, and you're scared of a bug that you can smash out in one little stomp. Well, usually they're just sitting there, and we go, ah, and we run. I'm like, now you don't know where he is. Now you got reason to be scared. He can sneak up on you. Why don't you just squish him as soon as you see him, you know? Fear is such a liar. Do you know that 99% of the time what you fear never happens? It almost never happens. Those things that do happen usually shock us. We didn't have time to get all scared and worry about them. But this group of people were draped in fear, draped in worry. Are you always worrying what might happen? They had a spirit of fear. You can't help others if you're covered in fear. God needs the people who trust him to be bigger than the boogeyman. Now, the church at Pergamos, the third church, they also had some fear. They were, I hate that God says, I know the seat of Satan, he's seated among you. Wow, think about that. Do we want to make a seat in here for Satan to comfortably sit among us? But we do. We do. How do we do it? We allow sin. We just allow it. We don't confront it. I look at my brother and I go, man, he's just all caught up in his good works, and he's all burdened down with worry and fear, and he's got all this stuff he's doing in his life, but I'm not going to say anything because who am I? I mean, I don't want to judge him. No, you shouldn't judge him to condemn him. But you should judge his need to pray for him. You should be able to say, I want him delivered. Do you know somebody in so much bondage and yet you're not saying anything to them? Are you saying anything to God about them? Are you praying for them? You know, if you see somebody driving off a cliff and you go, well, it's not my business. That's not love. Rescue them. Before you speak to them, speak to God about them. Instead of speaking to your friends and saying, well, that's just a bad Christian. I mean, look at him. He can't do anything. He's all burdened down. He's a lousy example of a Christian. Then go tell God that. God, please deliver this man. Please take this bondage and fear out of his life. Well, they had a lot of lust in this church, and that's why they want to judge anyone else. This church had a lot of lust. They liked their comfort. They liked video games. I mean, the devil is real. Yeah, throw that black on him again. The devil would come along and say, just be comfortable, man. You know, you worked hard already. Why don't you just play a nice little video game? A little, you know, these handheld things. And my phone's as big as a video game. You know, everything is game, game, game. We just don't know what to do with ourselves. So we just shut our brain off and go play, right? How about just eat some junk food and, you know, get some chips and some candy and comfort your flesh so that you don't have to think about all these problems in life. There you go. You say, what you got there? Some little Debbies, too. Yum. Yeah, that'll work. Turn on your TV. Put your feet up. Kick back. Do you like to put your feet up here? Let's make you a little more comfortable. devil wants you to be nice and comfortable in your disinterest in things of God. There's no sin over there, is there? I can eat those, well, I couldn't because I'm on a diet. But Harvey can have those chips when we move them over to the food fellowship. They're not a sin. You can have a little Debbie. But I'm saying if these are comforts, my flesh, my flesh, my flesh, I just want to feel comfortable. And what God wants me to do isn't comfortable. It isn't fun. So I'm just going to watch a movie or play a game because I don't want to think about it. The devil wants to distract you. He's been a liar from the beginning. When he went to the other angels and said, how come God's got all these? You can't do things. You can't do that. You can't touch this. You can't know that. God don't want you to have fun. I want you to have fun. If you follow me, I'll let you do whatever you want. Yes. Where will it lead you? Where will it lead you? Then we go to the fourth church, which was Thyatira. And Jesus says, I have eyes of fire. Now, there's the purging. When the fire of God comes, it will purify. It will burn up everything that is not God. We welcome that when we're seeking His face because we want Him to burn away the things that are not of Him. Distractions, fears, not trusting, addictions. We want those things burnt away. And He says, in the midst of this place is the Jezebel. Now, she led him even to deeper types of addictions. This Jezebel is the one that comes along. She's a seductress. That's the closest you're going to get to one. So there's your Jezebel. And she says, why don't you have a beer? You got any beer over there, devil? That'll make you feel good. Just get high. Try that out. See if you feel better. Not working? How about some drugs? Put your arm out there and have some drugs. That'll take you on a nice little trip. Here you go. The seductress of addiction. The devil wants you addicted to things. Because when you're addicted to things, anything you're addicted to, you go, I'm a Christian. I'm not addicted to anything. How about coffee, Coke, TV show? We have addictions. None of those things are wrong. Until they control you instead of you control them. I mean, the heroin's wrong, you know, but it'll control you like that. You know, you could have a glass of wine, but if you're drinking to the point of getting drunk, now it's controlling you. If you have to have that glass of wine, it's controlling you. Once you're addicted, the devil has got you enslaved. He's got a grip on you now that's very hard to break. Now, the next church, Sardis, all right, before we leave that one, that is one of the hardest churches. If you're reading through there, he cast her into a bed, and all those who follow her will go through the great tribulation. See, there's a worse consequence as we go deeper into addictions. If you go off into the addiction of heroin, there's a worse consequence. You're going to go through all kinds of hell to try to get free, and if you never get free, it's just going to own your life. Sexual addictions, those kinds of things, they're much, much more difficult to get free from. Jesus invites us out of it. Now, the church in Sardis was a dead church. They were blinded. He had actually blinded them. They didn't even know they were dead. They had no idea that they had died. And God said, even what remains is about to die. So they had been blinded to the truth. Is that a Christian you want to follow? Is that an example of somebody that's going to tell you about Christ in any way you're going to believe him? You see, the point of the devil is to silence the church, silence the Christians, so that nobody listens to you. Even when you speak, they go, well, look at you. And of course, we're going to say, yeah, look at me. I'm the sinner. He's the Christ. I'm going to let you down. But if we're letting him down to this degree, we're a laughingstock. We're a laughingstock. Now we come to Philadelphia. I like Philadelphia because God didn't find anything wrong with them. I wish we were Philadelphia, you know, because he said, I have set before you an open door. Glenn had a vision in one of our meetings of an open door. I don't even know if you remember it, but I write them down. He said, God has set before us an open door. We have seen open door visions. We got a painting of the open doors. There's an open door before us. We don't have to look like that. We have an open door. And God said, if you come to me and follow me, then I'm going to keep you from this great hour of temptation, which is coming to tempt the entire world. The entire world is about to go through an hour of temptation. You can already think about it with this ISIS thing going on. You know, they're over there just cutting heads off anybody who's not a believer in their religion. Now, I don't care what religion or non-religion you are. If you don't believe the way they said, they want your head cut off. They want you dead. And they've spread this word throughout the world. They've said, followers, kill everybody in your country, wherever you are. Kill leaders, kill politicians, kill anyone who's not a believer in Allah. Kill them. Now, a guy down in Colorado did. They didn't kill him. Oklahoma. They did not kill the guy. He's arrested. But he cut a lady's head off, and he's shouting these Islamic words as he's doing it. You don't know when you go out to the store. What if somebody walks up to you with the big machete and says, are you a believer of Allah? And you know if you say no, there goes your head. By the way, let me give you a little comfort. That's the best way to die. Because no brain, no pain. Once you cut your head, it can't send pain nerves anywhere. So you're not going to feel anything. So don't worry about it. I was tired. I was so tired. I was going, let me just run in one of those guys and say, send me to heaven today because I'm ready to go. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to live. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to live. I'm afraid of living in a way that won't please the Lord because this life is nothing. It doesn't matter what you do own, what you don't own, where you go, what you do. All that matters is that you let God live in and through you. And you will be at peace. You will have joy. And you will have the power of God. And you will be liking your life. Even if physically you don't like it, spiritually you'll be in a peace and a joyful state. We just have to get our mind out of this world, and we want to become Philadelphia. Laodicea, the last church, is the worst. Because they were lukewarm, and God said, I have to spit you out of my mouth. They were lukewarm, complacent. What makes us complacent? Money? We don't have any needs? Devil comes along and offers you some money. Now you're comfortable, you're secure. Have some money, blind man. And you don't care anymore. You're just indifferent. It said because you're just lukewarm. You're not even against God and you're not for God. You're just complacent. You're happy where you're at. Maybe, how about a new car? Give him some car keys over there, devil. Here you go. I hope you don't drive blind, though, because you know, hit something. Do you see the bondage in the chains? Satan has wrapped us up in his chains. We have become his slave. How can God move through this? How can God move through this? He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Do you know why his heart is grieving? Because that's how he sees many in the church of his Christians. And he wants to set us free. The weariness, the depression, the fear, worry, bad relationships. Who do you hang out with that keeps influencing you? You don't need to go to church. Sunday's your only day off. You deserve to go to the lake. Sunday is God's day. He only asked you for that one to show up at church. I mean, we might ask you for a few more, but no, I'm just kidding. Addictions, lust, indifference, complacency, riches, security. Do you want to live there? Do we want to live there? What does John have to offer? John. This verse is in John. What does Jesus have to offer? For once, I knew where the scripture was. So, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. If any man serves me, him will my Father honor. What does God want to give you? That's what the devil wants to give you. You can take it all off him and put it back in your basket because God's going to set him free. But what does God want to give you? He wants to honor you. I never understand why people resist God. He only is good. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Jesus says, repent. All through every single church, Jesus said, repent, repent. Overcome, overcome. Repent means to reconsider your decisions. Reconsider your choices. And there's only one way to do that. It isn't, do I have enough money? Do I want to do this? Or I don't stay there. Or I don't like this, so I can't. Repent means reconsider, rethink. If God said to do something and I obey him, there will be grace. God will give me the power to do it when I obey him, when I choose him. We need to give our whole life fully to God. We need to repent of being lukewarm. We need to come and sit with Jesus in his throne. These are the things he said to the churches. If you will repent, you can sit with me in my throne. His throne is where the blood flows from. All the mercy, all the forgiveness that we need. Wouldn't you like it when you get to heaven, you get to sit right in that throne with Jesus? He'll remove the chains. He'll remove all that junk from your life. Remove your blinders. To the second church, he said, be watchful. Wake up. Open your eyes to what really matters. And I will give you white raiment. He has white raiment waiting to drape you in it, not the black robes, the heavy blankets. I will give you power over the nations, and I will give you the morning star. Instead of being a slave to Satan, come on over to Jesus' side. I'm going to put a fake scepter in your hand, because I'm going to have you rule the nations with Jesus. He is the morning star. I'm going to let you eat from this hidden manna. I'm going to bring down this bread from heaven. And you think you liked those little Debbies and those chips? Wait till you taste heavenly manna, brother. That's the good stuff. You know, that doesn't mean he's literally going to rain food and bread on you. It means he's going to feed you stuff that's going to nourish your spirit like you've never been nourished before. When you start eating from the Word of God and from giving your life to him, he's going to feed the real you and wake you up to become alive to everything you were created to be and do. What the devil has told you, he's beat you. He's beaten you up into believing lies about you. God is going to begin to feed the real you so you can come alive. And then he's going to give you a white stone with a new name. Would you like a new identity? Would you like a brand new identity? Because when you walk into who God says you are, it's a brand new you. It's a different you than you've ever seen before, and you're going to like it. And then you're not going to be hurt of the second death. Those who stay in bondage, those who were in the bondage, they might have been in church, but it doesn't mean they were in God. It doesn't mean they were ever really belonging to God. They're not going to get eternity with him. They're going to end up in Satan's camp. They're going to follow him right into the pits of hell. You know, I don't like to preach that way, but I like to preach this way. He said, come to me, and I'm going to feed you from the tree of life. I'm going to give you the good fruit. When you eat this fruit, you're going to live forever. And guess where you're going to get to live? This tree's in paradise. You're coming to paradise wearing white clothes with a brand new identity, being nourished and fed by God, sitting in the throne with Jesus. You know, Brother Harvey's always jumping on everybody's lap. Just go ahead, jump on Jesus' lap this morning. You look out. If you sit in the front, he will get you. He won't sit on women, but he sits on men. Wouldn't you like a trip to paradise? Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. repent, rethink it. Who do you really want to serve? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. If you spend your life for money, you are serving money. Don't spend your life for lust and fun and drink and party, because you cannot serve God and anything else. John 8:34, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Who do you serve? America needs to repent. Because Isaiah 60:12 says, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve God, they shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. We have a reason to fear for our country. Abortion is not the free right of a woman to do what she wants with her body. Abortion is murder. It is murder. It is forgivable. I have seen many, many women that had abortions. God has me preach about that. And he has me bring little rosebuds. And he has me tell them, your baby's in heaven with me. Reclaim your baby. You know it says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And abortion cuts that baby off from anybody on earth caring and loving them. They go on up to heaven and they have nothing bound on earth. No one. You lost a baby in a miscarriage or a child in death. They're still bound to you. They're waiting to see you arrive. But these aborted babies, no. So God calls women, now that I have told you abortion is murder, repent. Change the way you think about it. Instead of rejecting that child, I want you to come and say, God, please forgive me. I accept that child. That is my baby. I take your little rosebud and I name that baby. You tell me, boy or girl. I name that baby and you tell that baby when I get there, they are mine.
Amen.
They are not rejected. I've adopted some of them that nobody will ever claim. God has asked me to adopt some of them. I adopted 3 last week. I just told Harvey we have 3 more. I named them. I write them in my Bible because nobody else is going to claim them. So it's forgivable, but it's murder and it's not okay.
Amen.
Homosexuality is perversion.
Amen.
God didn't make any mistakes. And those who think they don't know which one they are, you come and talk to me. I can tell you how to know, just like that.
Amen.
There are certain ways to know.
Amen.
There's no confusion. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Moms haven't been moms and dads haven't been dads. And it's left a confused generation.
Amen.
That doesn't know what they are.
Amen.
They're men that are aching for a daddy that think they're in love with men. Women that are aching to be mommied and they think they're in love with women. They just need to be parented.
Amen.
They need to be parented. I have a very good friend who told me he was born a homosexual. And I believe him. I believe him because the sins of the father passed through the blood. My father was an alcoholic. I found out very young in life I better not drink. I get addicted like that. First time I went out drinking, before I know it, I was beer for breakfast. And I said, whoa. I wasn't even a Christian yet. And I said, I'm waking up in the morning going, I got to have a beer. I'm an addictive person. And if I let this go one day further, I'm going to be an alcoholic. So I said, I can never drink. I can never drink. That cannot be part of my life. Praise God, I didn't go that way. Because I don't have a whole lot of willpower to fight stuff off like that. I didn't do drugs. The first time they gave me sleeping pills in a hospital, I was addicted within 3 days. I was like, more drugs! I want to sleep! Yeah, I like this! You know, I'm very addictive. I have to be careful. I took like a quarter of a muscle relaxant and I was loopy for the whole next day. So I'm very addictive. The sins of my father were in my blood and he was an alcoholic. I could have easily been one. I didn't choose to be one. My friend had the sin of his father in his blood, and he desired to be a homosexual, and he chose to be one. He went out and had a relationship with a man, but he met Jesus, and he repented. He He still has no desire to marry a woman, and he has no desire to be with a man. He just wants to give his whole heart and life to God and be a eunuch. He wants to preach to homosexuals and tell them, God loves you, but it is a perverted lifestyle. You have to come out of it and give yourself to God. God told me many years ago, and you know what? I haven't preached this until he tells me to. This might be the first time I've really gone on about it. He told me years ago, you are going to preach to homosexuals, and you're going to tell them how much I love them, but they must repent, and that I will love them and accept them and help them, and I want them. And then they're going to hate you and want to murder you. And God said, I'm going to give you angels and protection, 6 car lengths all the way around you, or they will kill you because they will hate you for telling them because they don't want to repent. America's got to repent, but I don't know that America's going to repent. But there will be a remnant. There will be some who will, but not if we don't tell them.
Right.
Not if we let them grow up in schools that say, it's just a choice, man, woman, whatever you want, your body, your choice. You don't have to have that baby. If they grow up hearing only those words, they won't even know they need to repent.
Right.
We have to take the love of God, but the truth of God. We have to warn people. You're going off a cliff. You're walking into hell. You're going into the enemy's camp, and he's going to burn you down with everything he's got once he gets you there. And we have to tell them in love. But we have to tell them.
Amen.
It is time to tell them.
Amen.
America must repent. Your friends, your family, your neighbors, they must hear a loving message of repentance.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to tell them.
Amen.
But make sure that it's when God says, that you have prayed for them, that you have asked him to prepare their heart, that you've asked him to prepare your heart, that there's no judgment.
Right.
No judgment. People are different than you, and they're different in good ways. And we don't like that. We want everything to be the way we think it ought to be. I would never do that, so it's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of things that are different than I do. They're not wrong. They're just different. But there's things that are wrong according to God's word. And those things need to be dealt with. We have to get bold. But first, we got to repent ourselves. We got to get out of that camp and into that camp walking with Jesus. Because if you just go out and start telling people, it's powerless. It won't do any good. They'll just say your judgment. They may say you're judgmental anyway. But don't let it be you. Let it be God.
Amen.
And they will know the difference. And they might not like you. They might reject you. We've got to rescue the perishing.
Amen.
It's time to begin the rescue.
Amen.
Before it's too late. Before they die and it's too late to tell them. How sad to say I knew, but I never told them. And now they died and they're probably in hell, saying, why didn't she tell me? Why didn't she tell me? How could she? You know, I didn't get saved till I was 23. Nobody told me. I didn't know anything. I was the dumbest person on the face of the earth. Drove by crosses, Jesus on them, saw him hanging on people's necklace. And I go, yeah, it's Jesus, you know. Didn't know who he was or what he's doing on a cross and didn't even ask. At 23, I found out. I met him. And I went home, and I told my mom and dad, I met God. I met him. He's real. He's living in me. Jesus is real, and he died for me, and I'm telling them all about it. And you know what my mom said? I know. I went, what do you mean you know? Oh, she says, well, I got saved when I was 18. And you never even told me about God? Who else in this family is saved? Well, Uncle Jim and Aunt Betty. I went, I go over there every week. I knew they went to church, but I doubted they were saved the way I saw them getting ready for church, you know, screaming at each other. And I'm like, God, I didn't think that was God. Uncle Carl and Aunt Rita. And she starts naming all my relatives who never told me. Now, what if I'd have died and gone to hell? I would not have been very pleased that they didn't tell me. How fair is that? Don't be afraid. Just do it in love. It's time. It is time. Luke 1:74. Let's pray this. Pray that God would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him with fear. We will hear. What will we hear in Judgment Day? Matthew 25:30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to hear that for me or anyone I love. Or will we hear Matthew 25:23? His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Which one are we going to hear on Judgment Day? You know what? I want to hear it every morning, because I'm not going to be like Ephesus and leave my first love. Every morning I want to hear God saying to me, Well done. Well done. You walked with me pretty good yesterday. You know, and I beat myself up and I say, But God, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And I think I was just indifferent over here. And he says, But you did do that. You did give that girl a ride. And you did do this. And you did do, you let me move. And I'm well pleased. He doesn't want perfection, but he does want motion. He does want action. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants you to walk with him and let him spill over on everyone else around you. That's what he wants. Let's be overcomers. Let's not be burdened down with the things out of Satan's basket. Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful you love us, Lord. Your love is amazing, patient, enduring, long-suffering, gentle, powerful. Deliver us, God. Open our eyes. Search us, Holy Spirit. Please search us, Holy Spirit. And deliver us from deceptions, addictions, because we want to walk with you in these last days. We want your glory to shine through our lives. We want to set you free. And you'll set us free. In the name of Jesus. Amen.